I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Whether you drive, take the bus, ride a bike, or climb aboard the train, transportation and the infrastructure it relies on is one of the most important components of our lives. And the people most responsible for transportation in Oregon, the legislature, are touring the state right now to listen and understand what should be their priorities for the next legislative session. Representative Susan McClain, a Democrat from Hillsboro, and Senator Chris Gorsuch, who is a Democrat from Gresham, they're co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Transportation. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in and chatting with us.
Well, thank you for inviting us. We really enjoy being here, and it's our favorite topic.
Great.
That's very true, yes.
Well, and it's on the mind of many people. Let's just start with this, and Representative, I'm going to start with you. Can you give us sort of a general overview of the Joint Committee on Transportation?
Well, thank you very much. The Joint Committee on Transportation is one that we have at the state legislature that includes both senators and representatives. We actually work on many, many projects. This particular year, we're concentrating in 24 and 25 on what we're calling the transportation work. And the transportation work that we're doing has to do with looking for funding that is stable and diversified and sufficient. And we're also looking for the next generation of how do we make our transportation system safe? How do we make sure that we have multimodal choices? And how do we make sure that we have the opportunity to make it a stable system for the folks of Oregon?
Okay, great. And then, Senator, you know, kind of, as I know, you're sort of doing, I guess it might call it a listening tour. Talk
yes.
about that, the purpose of that you're crisscrossing the state and meeting with the public and meeting with other leaders. Talk about that.
Well, the idea is that we want to go around the state and talk to people where they live mm-hmm. and figure out what sorts of issues that's most pressing on their mind. And then incorporate that into our decision making for the 25 legislative session.
So what are you hearing? I'll go back to you, Representative. You know, what are some of the things that when you meet with the members of the public, what are they saying, about, especially about transportation?
Well, thank you for the question. We have been in Portland, Tillamook, and Albany so mm-hmm. far. And there's a lot of information out there that we're getting from the public that basically says maintenance and maintenance first. And that it's important for us to fill those potholes. It's important for us to maintain our facilities so that they know they're going to be safe and that they're going to be able to get to where they need to go when they need to get there.
Okay.
We've also heard about regional differences. We had a lot of difference between, for example, Portland and Tillamook. In Tillamook, we talked a lot about culverts. They have over 3,000 culverts, and culverts are important to roads and transportation systems. So we heard a lot about how the state needs to support and help with some of the culvert work. On the coast also, there are slides, and so there are many, and they have many, many highways in that area from 101 to 30 and many others. And so we heard a lot about the condition of safety on those highways.
Senator, I know transportation is one of those topics that people don't think about it until it really impacts their lives. And imagine
right.
certainly with maintenance, you know, oftentimes it's talked about, oh, you know, the road construction
That's
or
right.
maintenance, you
That's
know, it
right.
slows down my commute. But I'm also thinking that, you know, certainly imagine you're hearing a lot from people about sort of, you know, it's been a topic in the state and nationally about, you know, major, you know, problems with our infrastructure, crumbling infrastructure. Talk about that and what you're hearing from people about the infrastructure specifically around transportation.
Well, one of the things to remember is that a lot of our infrastructure is getting old. If you think about the freeway system, for instance, it was put into place in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those roads and a lot of those bridges are wearing out. And you're right, you don't really think about it much until, oh, the road's closed or there's, you know, reduced lanes or all of those things. So one of the challenges is that we have a lot of infrastructure out there. But the question then is, what are the priorities
yeah.
for fixing things?
Yeah. Representative, how do you do that? This idea of trying to prioritize projects, and I'm going to get to funding in a second, but I'm just wondering, you know, and I imagine this listening tour is part of that,
yeah.
but I mean, let's face it, everybody thinks that their community is the most important, and everybody thinks that their transportation needs are the most important, but you can't say yes to everything. How do you do it?
So I really am going to use two words, and those are prioritize and balance. Now, those may not sound like words that go together, but they have to.
Okay.
And so we have to look, if we're going to look at a multimodal system, we have to make sure that we have some development and investment in transit. And we have heard in the first three stops that we need to have transit in both rural and urban areas. In 2017, our package included a payroll tax that did give the first state money to transit. And that is statewide.
Yeah.
And so whether it's Medford or Eugene or Portland or smaller communities, we do have transit money, and we're going to have to invest in that as well.
Okay. Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Transportation. We're talking with Senator Chris Gorsuch from Gresham, and we're talking to Representative Susan McClain. She's from, Hillsborough. So I'm wondering this, you know, and Senator, I'll go to you. Transit and roads. I'm not saying there's tension, but there's this idea that, you know, people want to be able to get in their cars and go where they want to be, but they also want an effective transportation system. And I'm going to use the words that the representative did about priorities and balance. You know, talk some more about how you balance the money for that, because obviously, you know, everything in transportation is expensive,
yes,
obviously. And it must be a challenge to figure out, okay, we've got a finite amount of resources and we have these priorities. How do we spend the money?
Right. Well, that's a very good question. One of the issues that we've had too is that there are certain constitutional requirements.
Okay.
And so, if you're looking at the freeway or the highway system, then the gas tax, which has been our traditional way of paying for things, applies there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take the gas tax and use it for transit. So part of the prioritizing and balance is that you have different pots of money that can go different places.
Okay.
But you can't intermix them.
Yeah, yeah. Representative, sticking with transit, you know, obviously it's usually buses, or but there are other things as well, but usually it's like there's a municipal bus system. And I'm thinking you are a state representative, obviously, you know, as part of the leadership for the state. How can you at the state help, you know, the city of Albany's transit system, the city of Eugene's transit system, the city of Portland's transit system? You know, what are the levers, so our audience can understand, what are the levers you can pull to help with those city systems?
Well, we came up with a funding device in 2017, which was the payroll tax.
Okay.
And so, first of all, we have to identify a funding mechanism that works for that particular part of the system, as the senator pointed out. And what we can do for Albany, or what we can do for Ontario or other small folks, let's say Eagle Point or Central Point, we have to be able to help them figure out how to use the kind of transit system that is functional in their community.
Okay.
We've done that by putting up some standards and some goals for how they spend the money,
okay,
and also how they try to demonstrate that they're getting a certain level of ridership.
Okay.
And if they do well for getting those types of riderships and getting people to the places they need to go, including doctor appointments or actually getting to a shopping situation where they can get groceries, or it could be something where they're having to figure out how to get people the last mile or the last 2 miles because they can get a major bus and get certain places, but they can't get home.
Okay.
And so we have to work on making sure that our dollars are going to be spent on the things that those smaller communities or the city communities really need. We've worked hard since 2017, and we've seen some really big successes in places that people wouldn't actually expect.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull on that thread with you, Senator, a little bit more about the money.
Sure.
Because as I understand it, what's very interesting and perhaps confusing about transportation projects is oftentimes there's multiple layers of government that are providing funding, federal, state, local. Talk about that, but it's specific to your committee, you know, talk about the ways in which you're advocating for projects and advocating for funding.
Well, you're right. There are several layers. Depending upon the size of the project,
okay.
There's frequently federal money, and then our state monies, and then sometimes we have local governments that are able to place money into a project. The problem is that all of these systems are pretty stressed. And so it's not only then the multi-layering, but it's whether you even have the funding to begin with.
Sure.
And the main thing to remember is, for instance, if you think about the Interstate Bridge, is that it's a combination of different funding packages that are going to make that bridge work.
Okay.
So it's not just one source.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Representative.
I would love to add the fact that we already are one of the only states in the United States that actually share the money that they raise on transportation with our cities and our counties.
Oh, okay.
Our counties get 30% of what we raise, and our cities get 20% of what we raise. And they right now want to make sure they're going to keep that.
Right.
And the commitment that my co-chair and I have made together in public places is that basically we are trying to see that if we can keep the 50%. At the beginning, there were comments that they made that said we should have more. And we said if we can maintain 50%, we're doing well.
Yeah.
Because as the senator pointed out, it's basically a situation where both cities, counties, and state roads and state transportation systems are needy. We have to have that resiliency. We have to have that safety. And the only way we're going to get it is if we spend those dollars well and in the right places at the right time.
That's right.
Good, good. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We're talking to the co-chairs of the Legislative Joint Committee on Transportation. We're talking with Senator Chris Gorsuch, and we're talking to Representative Susan McClain. I'm Michael Dunn, and this is Oregon on the Record. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. We're talking about transportation, and we're talking with the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Transportation as part of the legislature. We're talking to Representative Susan McClain, and we're talking to Senator Chris Gorsuch. I'm curious, because obviously a lot of conversation in our state, especially in the region, sort of the I-5 corridor, talks about the potential for the Cascadia subduction zone,
right.
Of which,
right.
Obviously, if a major earthquake and tsunami, well, I think a lot of people say it's not if, it's when something like that happens, one of the biggest impacts is going to be transportation. I just wanted to hear from either one of you who wants to jump in, what your job as the Joint Transportation Committee is about this idea of transportation resiliency day to day, but also in the event of catastrophe.
Well, there's and there are other committees that work on this too.
Sure.
So the emergency preparedness folks are very much involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief is if you have a major event like that, the most damage will be on the coast and in the valley.
Yeah.
So one of the plans, strategic plans, in terms of moving resources into the region after such an event is Highway 97, which is east of the Cascades.
Yeah.
And so there's consideration for that and how airports can be utilized, all of those things. But we would assume that the I-5 system will not be functional for a period of time after that event. And certainly 101 is another one that will be greatly impacted.
Yeah.
How I would add to that is basically that besides the inventory of airports, we also have done inventories of our roads.
Yeah.
We've done inventories of where the supplies are going to be coming from. We have been looking to see what affects both Oregon as well as the whole West Coast. The I-5 bridge, for example, one of the reasons we're working so diligently to get that replaced with resiliency, safety, and functionality is because we are going to be, that bridge will be affecting both Washington and Oregon and the rest of the West Coast, as well as getting supplies from the east side of the country.
Okay.
And so it's a very pragmatic, we have a system now where we have an actual agency that and some work that we've done in the last 2 or 3 years on that emergency management system being one system versus 3 or 4 systems.
Okay. Are there dollars available from the federal government to retrofit and seismically update some of our transportation infrastructure?
Yeah, I believe that's true. And if you look at For instance, the Markham Bridge is an example, mm-hmm. Where retrofitting has occurred. There's also then the Oregon City Bridge, the Abernathy.
Yeah.
It is being retrofitted as well as expanded. Mm-hmm. So there are some monies out there. Now, if you were going to be living in a perfect world, you would want a lot more money than we have. But that's where the prioritization has to come in.
Okay.
And the problem for instance, interstate is there's two kinds of safety. Mm. People are will frequently go, oh, well, I don't think the lanes are that big of a deal. They're narrow lanes, and there's no real shoulders there. So that's safety in one sense.
Okay.
But then the seismic problems with the bridge, that's the other thing. That bridge is not rooted in bedrock.
Hmm.
And so that's another reason why,
sure,
you know, we get hit twice with safety on that bridge.
Yeah.
So I want you to know there are bridges that we're thinking about that are statewide, not just in the metropolitan Portland area.
Hmm.
We have the Hood River Bridge, which is a bridge that is being tolled right now. It's been tolled for a long time, but they haven't been able to replace it. It really is a connection in Washington and Oregon right now. And they have been able to get money from the state governments on both sides of the river, which allowed them to get more money from the infrastructure federal program.
Yeah.
So we are looking at those layered funding, and we are looking at how to help others around the state get some of those dollars as well.
Well, and I'm curious, too, because obviously much publicized Infrastructure and Reinvestment Act at the federal level. Has some of that money trickled down to us?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And we've been working on that diligently.
Okay.
We've got lots of our state folks. In fact, the legislature even put together a package a couple of years ago saying, we want you to hire some more folks to write for more grants.
Okay.
And so that's something that, and not just grants in transportation, but grants across the board, which means broadband, which means environmental concerns and things of that nature. But absolutely, we're doing quite well.
Okay, good.
The other thing about funding is that if you think about the state of Oregon, we were the first state to institute a gas tax.
Mm.
And I think that was about 1919.
Okay.
So it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
The problem is now cars are more fuel efficient.
Sure.
Or they don't use fuel at all.
Yeah.
And so we are going to have to find a way to replace the gas tax, because that's been really not the only one, but it's been a major one in terms of the funding for these different transportation things.
And to carry on with that answer is the fact that we have to look at both short, mid, and long-term tools. An example of a short-term would be indexing the gas tax.
Hmm.
Another example would be indexing some of our DMV fees.
Hmm.
Another way would be to look at something that 8 states have decided to do recently, and that is to use delivery fees. Minnesota, for example, in 23 passed a delivery fee type of a tool, and they have put it into effect in 24. So, and they're looking at how it's going to be administered for the businesses. It is 50 cents for any delivery over $100.
Interesting.
And so we've had people from that state come in and talk to us, and we are researching other ways to make short, mid, and long-term diversified, stable, and sufficient funding.
Interesting. Let me quickly reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking to the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Transportation. We're talking with Representative Susan McClain, and we're talking with Senator Chris Gorsuch. I'm curious, too. You just talked about some things, and I'm thinking as we're looking at climate change, and obviously transportation is an enormous impact in our environment, you know, how does that factor into what you're looking at in terms of our transportation? You talked about the fact that obviously, you know, it could be that more and more cars are running completely electric, and so gas tax may go away. What are some of the calculus you're utilizing to make sure that our transportation system obviously is very good at moving people where they need to go, but also doing it as environmentally sustainably as possible?
Well, one of the other aspects of all of this, even though we have to make things safer on the roads and maintain the roads properly. But there's also the issue of using, for instance, more rail to transport people from one place to another. When you can carry a large number of people with one or two engines on a train set, then that's a lot less emissions than you have otherwise.
Sure.
So Metro is doing a study right now for the Portland metropolitan area to see look at light rail as well as heavy rail and see how we can move more people across that region. But there's also, you know, Amtrak Cascades, which runs the valley, and there's a lot of other things that we can do. But the more we can do to put people in those sorts of systems, then the less congestion you also have on the freeway system.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides that wonderful addition to the overall multimodal system of rail, both for passenger as well as for freight, we also are still continuing to look at cleaner types of fuel. Mm-hmm. We have, for example, some of us put some of our ARPA money from the federal government. During
ARPA
COVID.
Is what again?
ARPA is the federal dollars that came to us for COVID.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
And we put them to school buses that were electric.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
We also are working with TriMet and other transportation transit systems to look at hydrogen. And we have claimed certain highways as both electric and also hydrogen highways. Mm. So we're making sure that we've got the kind of resources we need to have the charging stations and to have hydrogen available.
Okay.
And so we continue to try and make a greener world, including greener construction.
Yeah. Let me finish with this, and I'll give you both a chance to respond. So we're heading into the 2025 legislative session. Right. In terms of transportation, what are some of your big goals for 2025?
Well, I think the biggest goal is to make sure that the transit, or the, not the transit system, the Department of Transportation is whole.
Okay.
It has substantial deficits, and so we need to make it whole so that the maintenance and the safety factors can be taken care of. On a tour recently, we found out that another problem with the Department of Transportation and also counties and their systems is that a lot of their equipment is very old and getting older. And so for me, I think another thing that we're going to want to do is try to find ways to get some newer equipment and more equipment. One county in this area has one sweeper for their whole region.
Wow.
And of course, that doesn't work very well, right?
No.
So those are kind of the things that I hope to see.
Representative?
I'm going to go to equity and safety.
Okay.
Capital S on safety, capital E on equity. We have to make sure that all citizens have an opportunity to have a wide variety of choices that they can pay for. And we also have to make sure that it's safety for all modes. And that means bikers, rollers, that means our trucks, that means our cars, no matter what they're fueled on. It means it has to be a safe system. So I'm hoping that we can get those major goals that we both talked about, as well as finish some really important capital projects that we started in 2017.
Good enough, good enough. Really, thank you both for coming in. We've been speaking with the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Transportation from the state legislature. We've been talking to Representative Susan McLean and Senator Chris Gorsuch. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. On Monday, you'll hear about the programs and policies that the City of Bend and nonprofits are taking to try and reduce youth homelessness in Central Oregon. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.